Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
This is for you. This is for you and me, and who we see when we see each other. This is for all. This is for all the time you tried to find your sister or your brother. And you're not crazy anymore. You've been waiting at the door, and it's time to open.
You're on, Randy.
That's right, and I am opening. I don't have any of the scripts in front of me for that this morning yet. So
hey, we have no scripts. Neither one of us have any scripts. It's a new world, kiddo. We're having it. Randy and I are having a dialogue today that if you guys can listen, we're going to talk about a lot of subjects. One of them is coupling. We're creating a new America and a new global world right now, and Randy Sheenan is, what can I say? She's the perfect partner for this. So, Randy, what do you want to say next?
Well, I just want to say welcome back, first of all, because you were not with us last week and the show still went on. Hopefully you were able to listen to it. But, you know, I know you went to Mexico and we're just super glad to have you back and hope that you had a great time. And I'm hoping that we get to hear about everything that you did in regards to the torch that you carried and the people that you met and the magic that happened, because I
know that something magical
happened.
It's total magic.
So good morning to you and good morning to America that's out there. Because, you know, when you left, you wrote me a note. You said luck and magic for Randy today, but I sent it right back to you. And you did call me, and something amazing had happened to you, I believe, in the airport.
But, well, let me. You'd have to identify the amazing thing that happened, because this is the most magical journey I've ever had in my entire life, and I'm 79 years old, and the truth of the matter is, Randy, carrying the torch and to Merida, Mexico, actually, it was. I felt like I had God's torch. Whatever we Christians hold as gods, that I was representing God in Mexico, so I was coming from that place, and it actually, I'm also a human, okay? So mm-hmm. As a human representing God, I have my fallacies. As a human representing God or the higher frequency or a vision or the possibility of peace, prosperity, and happiness, that's a very high vision for the planet. It even is a higher vision than simply peace, because listening and looking for peace is a really amazing conversation. We have so much, what's the right word for it? We have so much thrown at us as American citizens in particular, and American people, and the people of America, that we don't have much time to stop and look and hook up with beauty. Merida, Yucatan was founded in 1542, Randy. That was before the United States was even happening. Mm. I mean, you know, that blew my mind when I found that out. The governor of the Yucatan, I didn't get a chance to interview him down there, and I was hoping to do that. Things were just not working for me to do that. But I'm going to be going down there back in November, and we'll talk more about that later. This particular area of the world is right up towards the upper tip of the Yucatan Peninsula, and I think you'll find this interesting, my dear heart. It is also mm-hmm. right near the Isle of Women.
You've mentioned that before.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, you've known me for a long time, and one of the ways that I follow my path in the world is to follow symbols. And the Isle of Women is a symbol of the reemergence of women in the world as leaders. And that is a time whose time has come. I wore a T-shirt down there that said Pompeii, Ronald Reagan Library. Do you know anything about the story of Pompeii?
Not a ton. I should know more. It's ridiculous.
Well, you will, just a little bit. what happened is that when the volcanic eruption happened in Pompeii, I actually thought at one time that it had to do with just a volcano erupting and actually the lava flowing over and covering up its inhabitants. It didn't happen that way. It was actually the volcanic ash that blew up. And if you look at it symbolically, one of the reasons why I think it was so important is that when Pompeii blew up, at that particular time, Randy, I don't think there was anybody on the planet that was more wealthy, more intelligent, more perfect, more anything that you could imagine, except for one area. Mm-hmm. What do you think that one area might be?
I couldn't even begin to guess.
How they treated women.
Okay.
How they locked women up without clothes on in cells and had them be sex slaves for their soldiers and their men.
Mm-hmm.
And their men would come in and woo them, be sexual with them, and then leave, and the women were left in these cells. That was how women were treated. And I believe that God, the Holy Spirit, anything you want to call it, said, Pompeii, sorry. You know, we warned you, and now you're gone.
Yeah.
That's why I wore the Pompeii shirt in Merida.
I'm actually, that happened all over the world, and it's almost hurtful in my gut because I'm watching the series Marco Polo right now on Netflix.
Are
definitely
you?
Not for children. Yeah. And you know, the Khan, who was basically the leader of the Mongols, he had thousands and thousands of women. He had one wife, but he had thousands of women. And the wife, at least in this, and I'm being told it's very true to the truth, the wife was basically in charge of picking those concubines for him. And, you know, he'd only be with them once, but, I mean, he would be with a bunch. It's horrendous, the things that the women had to go through. And they didn't want that, by the way. But they could, and if they didn't perform to the best of their abilities, like they liked it more than anything in the world, then they would get sent into the whore trade and be a slave there. So, I mean, they really had no choices. And it's gut-wrenching. The agonies that women have had to endure over the years.
Yeah, it makes you want to cry, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. It's like, you know, were men monsters? I mean, are they still, you know, because we have the Weinsteins of the world and the one guy who just allegedly killed himself, Epstein, and, you know,
I'm glad you said allegedly. That is such a piece of trumped-up work. I've never heard anything like it in my life.
Yeah.
The whole deal being here is that Merida is close to the Isle of Women, which is a symbol.
Mm-hmm.
It's established 1542, which is another symbol. It is the city of peace, officially, as of the last weekend. 22 Nobel laureates were in Merida. 22. They came to Merida to seek peace. It was an official conference of the Global Security Institute, which is an institute run by a friend called Jonathan Granoff, who I originally met in Rome back in the late 90s. I think it was like 1999 or 2000, that gathering in Rome. People came in from all over the world to the ancient city of Rome. That was another symbol. It was going back into the past, linking the past, and now we have Merida with the present. So what did I find when I went down there would be, like, what was I going to find? I didn't know. I don't mean to offend anybody. I would have to speak what I call gardener English or gardener Spanish English or English Spanglish gardener or whatever you call it. I do not speak the Queen's Spanish yet.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got there, my knowledge of Spanish was poquito, mas poquito.
Mm-hmm.
Their handling of English was mas poquito. because of the energy of the whole project that it was I was on, we would giggle and laugh, and we would speak, and we would say, habla poquito español, you stand? If you go to Merida, all you need to know how to speak is a smile, a thumbs up sign, and how to say por favor. If you can do those three things, you can walk through the streets of Merida and get anywhere you want to get to, meet anyone you want to meet. And as a handicapped representative, that was another symbol, by the way. You don't know this, but in my chart, it said I was going to be crippled by the time I was 60. I hated that. I just hated it.
Sure.
I did everything I could not to be crippled, right? I did bodybuilding. I did all of this other stuff. It was in my chart. I was like, I can feel the crippling effects of arthritis coming on. I took vitamins. I went to physical therapists. I did all kinds of stuff. And I still have a twisted leg and a swollen foot, and I hop, okay? So I could not have pulled off this journey if I had not been handicapped. What do you think when I say that?
Well, I don't see you as, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
Okay.
And actually, it's kind of good to know that ahead of time in the chart, because you did everything to thwart it. And I was
Totally. But here's the funny part of it. I got to tell you, this is the funny part of it. I didn't know how this was going to work. I mean, first of all, I got stopped at the Houston airport on Wednesday and sent home because of the flooding in Houston, right? And then I guess it was Thursday. And then I couldn't get a booking for Friday. And I got a booking for Saturday. And when I got back to the airport, I ended up traveling, Randy, 52 hours without going to sleep. 52 hours at 79 years old. 52 hours. How do you do that?
Wow.
You do it because I had Randy Shannon on air taking care of things. I had Brooke Peterson got me this amazing stuff called Euphoria, which did it. My friend Jenna Lauren got me some Chinese herbs that are kickers. I wish I could share the content of the herbs and stuff like that. I don't know a special stuff that she arranged for me through the royal family of China, for God's sakes. And a suitcase with an Olympic torch in it. And then I flew down there on United Airlines, another symbol. Okay? But the best part, and I'm going to actually say this, Randy, the best part of being interrupted and sent home by United the first time we couldn't get through was that I got a class, an absolute master's class in organizing people under crisis. DC from the United team was the man in charge. He was wearing a purple shirt. There were people in the airport. They were upset because they couldn't go. Their families were waiting for them. Their babies were crying, and they were all over the place, and we had been left at the airport for like 4 hours. And I don't mean left, but I'm saying in the midst of all of this. And then on top of that, our pants were scared off about Houston, what was happening to our families in Houston. And I mean, I don't have a person I know in Houston in particular. I've got two or three. But when I'm talking about our family, I'm talking about our family as humanity. I've got the same day we were trying to get down there, our brothers and sisters in Houston were being hit by seven hurricanes. Have you ever heard of anything like that?
How is it seven? I didn't hear that. I just heard one.
They came in from diversions. They all came together and slugged Houston. And then on top of that, when we finally got down there later, those people, those wonderful, wonderful people, were expecting three more. It is the worst history of hurricanes in the history of Houston.
You got to look this up.
Yeah.
Jerry Pico.
Okay. Go take a look. I'm telling you, poor Houston experienced hell. And very magnificently. D.C., who was running the project at the Los Angeles International Airport for United, was running things perfectly. I'm going to also tell you that I had, quotes, another error. I'm putting this out there because I want people to know that sometimes when you think everything's wrong, it's wrong for the right reason. You're getting a lesson in something. This is actually this is actually an educational planet. In my reality, people are actually on this planet as inhabitants of this planet, like you would go to UCLA or the University of Miami or Cambridge in England or whatever. Those are educational schools. There's a lot of really great ones on the planet. We go here on this planet to do that. There are people that I'm actually an interdimensional person, meaning I can access more than one dimension. And I've actually taken training to do that. That wasn't something that somebody said, here you go, just enjoy, kiddo. I took over 100 seminars, Randy, to be able to do what I'm doing. I've talked to Sherry, by the way. Remember Sherry St. Vincent, our friend?
Of course, yeah.
Well, she and I have been talking about how this works and all that kind of stuff. The person that works at my house, Tamika, she made everything work. She gets it. There's energy on this planet, and once we're not caught up in trying to survive, because that's how it's been designed. We've been trained to be slaves. We've been trained to work for the capital. I'm going to put capitalist in a brown capitalist right now. What we are is actually green capitalists. Do you have any idea what that might mean?
Well, it has to do with the green, like, I don't know, saving the planet? What?
It turns out that we're naturally, quote, green capitalists in my world, okay? The green capitalist is a person who actually takes a look at a situation, sees what needs to be done, what's the future of that, what has to happen is being done, and then they actually work with teams to create it. There are a number of different institutions in the United States. And by the way, it's called different things in different states, but in the United States it would be an institution like Landmark, or an institution like Insight Seminars, or there's just so many people on this planet doing great work. And it's, in a sense, it's green capitalism, which means that it teaches people to be of high frequency, to be of service, and to honor the planet and the possibility of the future. It's about honoring peace, joy, and happiness. It's about taking things from a level that's actually more generous than just the concept of peace. If I say think peace, what do you think? You think of calmness or beauty or what do you think?
Yeah.
Nice thing, right?
Very nice. I love peace. I have to have peace in my life.
Right, you do. But that's only the first step. Okay? We got to take the women out of this, the Pompeii's. I don't know how to say Pompeii right this morning. I got back after another 20-plus hour day. So if you think I'm being not as accurate as I would like to be about some of these names, as I said, I got home after, like, and in sleep after 22 hours again, okay?
Okay.
I contacted people in the United States, Howard Weimer, an amazing individual and his family. I contacted Lisa Molson of the Indian tribes. I contacted all these different people so that we could anchor peace, joy, and happiness from Merida in the United States. I made a point of calling them as I called you. What we're doing is we're actually creating a net or a web for the entire planet that has actually just been so embraced by Merida that I just could cry. It's that good. What's happening there is that the city, I visited it 30 years ago, Randy, but I wasn't really in touch with the people the way I was.
Mm-hmm.
The city, me as a handicapped woman walking down the street, because that's what I tried to do, was to keep walking. I wanted help. I wasn't going to use any canes or anything. When I got really tired, really, really, really tired sometimes, because I had so much to get done and so much walking to do, I would start to have a handicapped issue, like I couldn't get up a ramp, or I was at one point clinging to one of the traffic poles in Merida. I was just so tired, and I was losing my balance. People would reach out. Total strangers would reach out, and they, Senora,
okay.
A hand would come out to me. I didn't I've never had that happen before to the degree that it has. In U.S., when I was fighting the legal issues here with the banks, who I won't name because that's still in process, there were actually people in Los Angeles that stopped on the street because I have trouble walking, to ask me if I needed a ride. Okay?
Oh.
So maybe one in 100 people in the U.S. would actually stop and talk to me. Like, they would stop their car and talk to me to make sure I could get there. In Merida, all I had to do was if I needed help and there wasn't anybody quickly available, I would just stand on the corner or the steps or wherever I was stuck, and I'd go, Policia, por favor, or Amiga, por favor, or Amigo, por favor, or just por favor, and put my hand out. And within 10 seconds, somebody would be there. They would help me down the steps. They would ask me what I needed. They would move on. They didn't know I was an Olympic torchbearer. They knew I was a senior old lady in Merida, which, by the way, is as good as being the highest level of respect that you could possibly get on the planet in Merida, is being a woman, an older woman, and a handicapped woman.
It is
the only way that I could get that Olympic message through to Merida under the circumstances that I was in was to have been really, 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 really rich, because I would have had people running around for me, or I would have to be a handicapped woman. What can I say? I was treated like a queen. I was given the greatest of attention.
Did you have to take a ferry to get over there, by the way?
No. Just it's a nice airport. I just landed at the airport. You would have to take actually a boat ride to get to the Isle of Women, most likely. I think we took a boat over there the last time I was there.
Okay.
The point being, it's a flip of this world where everybody is fighting and calling people names and doing all kinds of things and attacking our president. I started to say the word, didn't I? A political party in this country has actually coupled the president of the United States with sexism, racism, all kinds of terrible things. He spent his entire time in this presidency, Randy, doing good things that aren't being noticed, such as, you know, improving the employment rate for people, the jobs rate's the best it's ever been in the whole world. They have coupled him with evil things, and they know how to trigger the populace. People in the world have been suppressed and worked so hard for so long that they're busting free. And there's a particular political party in this country that's extremely good at manipulating that. They're terrified because this political party actually, I believe, I'm going to say that I was one of the ones, because I wanted Barack Obama inaugurated, and I thought he was the new hope, and I didn't realize that he was part of the evil plan. And I do consider that presidency part of the evil plan, along with Clinton and a list of others. Did you hear Flynn has been exonerated?
Oh, no, that's so
Yeah,
great.
A federal judge actually exonerated Flynn.
That is
very special. And if anybody hasn't taken care of Sarah Huckabee Sanders, that woman deserves some kind of historic plaque for having survived an onslaught of the nastiest energy that I think this world has ever expressed. We have people in the press who tell the truth. We have newspapers in this country that tell the truth. Not what you would see if you saw it from Mexico. The U.S. Embassy in Mexico, Randy?
Right.
It's an embarrassment.
Tell me why.
I will in a moment. I just had this thought. Did you ever see the game by Michael Douglas called The Game? I think it's 1997 or something like that.
No.
Okay, so brief synopsis. Michael Douglas is this uptight guy. His brother, Sean Penn, gives him a birthday present. I think it's his 48th birthday or something like that. And the birthday present is that he gets to be in this game. And in the game, I don't want to tell the whole story, but in the game, he goes through all kinds of tests and trials, and including, by the way, jumping off an office building.
Okay.
And you think you don't quite know what's going on, but it's a total test, and Michael agrees to do it in the movie. And at the end of the movie, after he's gone through all of these tests, which he fears for his life, and ends up in Mexico. Actually, I think he's kidnapped in Mexico, and he's left. All he has is his Rolex watch or something like that to get around. It's a test. It's a consciousness test. That is exactly what I was put through in Mexico. Okay, mm-hmm. I swear it was just unbelievable. What I wanted after I hooked up with Ricky Martin, after I hooked up with Jonathan Granoff, the head of the Global Security Institute, I wanted to hook up with Ricky Martin. Okay.
Okay.
Do we know who Ricky Martin is? Probably.
He's very beautiful to look at.
Yes. Probably like Oscar. Probably like Oscar. I hear I'm going to get to meet. Can I say it on air?
Not yet.
Okay. I get to meet somebody very special to Randy this week. Well, that's the kid. When I say special to Randy, this is the man that Randy deserves. This is the man that makes things worthwhile and gives Randy feelings that are very precious. And everybody's got one if you want it when you actually graduate your test. Randy is graduating her test, and then she's going on to an advanced school. Is that elusive enough but interesting enough for you, Randy?
That works. That keeps everybody's curiosity up, too.
Yeah, well, there really are levels of consciousness, and it's not about insult. Major Ed Dames, who Randy and I both know, is a very interesting man who's a remote viewer. Randy took one kind of a class with this man. I took another kind of class, and that class was actually traveling timelines. And Sherry St. Vincent, who I was also in communication with from Mexico, who's in Tennessee right now, she took that class with me, and we ended up knowing what was happening in different places, and it's called remote viewing. So that was one of the 100-plus seminars that I've ever taken. So there's just all kinds of things going on. If you get in your car and you go to work and you either get there well or you have a nice horse in the country and that's your work, or you're in the city and you're wondering why, or you're in the city and you're loving it, those things that you're doing is part of your development. And then you'll notice at a certain point you change. And when you change, you actually have more capacity than you had before. So when you've been put through a test, when you suffer like heck, it was not until I stood in the streets of Merida that I said, thank God for making me handicapped. Can you believe that?
That's awesome. Most people don't say that.
Well, not most people do not get treated like a queen, because in the streets of Merida, I was being treated like an incredible human being by other human beings there. And I swear, Randy, in under 10 or 15 seconds, if I needed to get something up a stair, over a wall, sit down or whatever, because it's hard for me to sit down when I'm really tired without kind of just dropping, mm-hmm. they go, oh, senorita, you know? And
right.
they put out a hand.
Mm-hmm.
They'd take my arm, and they'd help me across the street if I wanted it. It was just...
That's very sweet.
It...
Well, what was out of the Nobel Laureates Conference? What was the point, and what came out of it?
Oh, a world of peace, prosperity, happiness. And the Nobel Laureates came from 22 different places in the world. These are, and by the way, these Nobel Laureates were not token laureates. They were people that had dedicated their lives to peace. When I was at the peace conference in New York City, back at the UN, and by the way, people, you know, think the UN is this and that, and it's corrupt, and it's not, and it's all. The UN is a world stage where people come for peace, and it's misused by people just as much as anything else. It's a possibility, okay, which has been corrupted. It's an idea or a vision which is a spectacular place for people to meet. So we need to take our ideal visions, and we need to actually start manifesting them. And to manifest the vision, Randy, all you have to do is like get going on it and start talking to people, because there's people that want exactly what we want. There's people that want peace, prosperity, and happiness for the world. And by the way, notice there's nothing political in that statement. It's not a better than. These people and the people that came before them and the people that will come after them and the leadership of Granoff, he gave me a little book. I wish I had it downstairs here with me. And Jonathan Granoff is actually a Sufi. And this Sufi man, this Sufi actually organized a conference, I say, at the request of God or at the request of higher frequency or however you want to do that. And in organizing this, what he did was he planted the seeds, and what I did was I come along to help explode that. And any other Olympic torchbearers that want to join us, any other people that want to hold the flame high, I'm actually planning on going into Afghanistan and different war-torn places of the world. One of the people that I was introduced to on this trip, in the United Lounge, by the way, was a man who actually arranges foreign travel into dangerous areas and you'll be safe. Man sat down next to me and started talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think that's pretty amazing?
I do. Did he have anything interesting to say?
Okay, let me tell you what else is amazing. Once again, initially I called this a mistake, but then I realized it wasn't a mistake. It was just what needed to happen for me to have the experience that I happened. I thought it would be a really great idea just to have a cash belt on and carry cash and not worry with debit cards or credit cards. What do you think? Does that sound good, like a good idea?
I mean, I prefer that way.
Yeah, doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Nobody will take your credit card.
Okay.
So here I have cash strapped around my waist at LAX, trying to make my way with a wheelchair, because that's the way to travel when you're handicapped. Mm-hmm. You get top A1 priority in every airport I've ever been in. And all I wanted to do was get into the United Lounge, because that was my next instruction, that I had to be in the United Rounds Lounge sitting in a chair reading a book. Okay, that was...
Mm-hmm.
I'm the one that hears voices like Joan of Arc, so I'm not embarrassed about it. I think it's a very high degree of connectedness, and that was my instruction. You need to get into the club. You need to sit in a chair. You need to read your Malcolm Gladwell book called Talking with Strangers, and you just need to see who sits down beside you. This gentleman sits down beside me, says, oh, I see you're reading that book of Malcolm Gladwell. Is that a good one? And that was the beginning of a conversation that will actually have the Olympic relay torch going into foreign places that are in trouble and working with leaders of those particular places. Not too bad an instruction, huh?
No, not at all.
Ask me how you got the lounge, Val.
Well, I'm thinking, would it be the handicap thing? Because they're giving you a place to rest, or... You had a good ticket.
Yeah, keep going. I love it. You're just hitting all the normal stuff that I would have thought, too.
Somebody invited you.
Invited by the head of the Institute to Merida. I was invited there. I had my certificate, but I didn't use that then. How do you think I got in the lounge?
I don't know. I gave you
I'm in a wheelchair.
Yes.
And by the way, when you're handicapped, take advantage of this, because they'll high-speed you any place in the airport. People were cheering as we zipped down aisles and stuff like that, because I was going wahoo as I went through the airport with my assistant pushing me top speed up and down ramps and all this kind of stuff. We were like race car drivers with wheelchair wheels on them.
Mm-hmm.
I went up to the customer service desk. I said, this is the customer service desk I see, and I definitely need some customer service. Here's what I've done. I didn't understand I had to have a credit card to work in this airport. I'm headed for Merida, Yucatan, with the Olympic torch, and I'm there to initiate the Olympic flame from Merida so that this peace, freedom, and prosperity that we're working on will actually create an explosion. So... Babe.
And they were okay with that word in the airport?
Yeah, babe. the standing, yeah, I said, I did say explosion of consciousness. I'm not like, I have other stories about the airport that fit what you're talking about.
Okay.
But this particular one, I'm in my wheelchair in front of the customer service desk, and Babe goes, I get it. I'm going to put you into the lounge. Come with me. I'm going to get you into the lounge. You have to get into the lounge. And the people, her teammates are going, you can't do that. It's against the rules. You can't do that. And Babe goes, I don't care. I'm doing it. The living torch has to get there, right?
Mm-hmm.
She takes her own credit card, and they tell her that she could get fired for it. I didn't believe that, but, I mean, they might have. I can't see firing somebody for forwarding an Olympic torch. I just didn't. So we were laughing. And she hands her card to Patricia, who's the head of the United Lounge, and tells her what I'm doing. And now Patricia is part of the Olympic thing, and her eyes are sparkling. Their eyes are sparkling, by the way. Why?
Okay.
Because they stepped into the Olympic flame. It's a higher frequency. It doesn't have fear of death. It doesn't have fear of loss in it. It doesn't have any of that stuff. It has, like, a torch where nations come together to work in unity, to create excellence, to encourage each other into their highest form of excellence. Mm-hmm. That's what happens to the Olympic torch. That's why she could tell her teammates that she didn't care. She was going to do it. She wasn't in the frame of they could fire me, I would die. She was in the framework of, this is an Olympic torch, and I want to spread and ignite and do whatever I can to have this vision manifest on Earth, because that's what I'm about. Patricia was about that in there. Other people in there were about that. I didn't even have to put the Olympic torch in their hands, which is actually why I took the torch, was so that people could experience it. Over 3,000 people prior to this date have touched my Olympic torch. And it's I'm calling it my torch. It's got my name on it. But what it's carrying is a global vision, Randy. And over 3,000 people have touched it. Well, there needs to be an acceleration in that. So I may be asking you to, take care of shows from all over. I'll be calling in from all over with a team. I'm already gathering people that want to do this. They've already said yes. And this is in 1 week. And then here we are on the radio. Randy knows. I got home at 2. I got home at just after 1 and asleep by 2 o'clock last night, and she got me up this morning, which is she's done a couple of times. I don't know why the alarm didn't go off, except that it didn't. And I don't have to worry about that. Why? Because Randy makes sure I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm going to make sure you're someplace too, Randy, and I'm going to make sure that the people of America, the global people of the world, get to walk through the streets and experience happiness, prosperity, and joy. Not just peace. Why not have fun? Let's dance.
Exactly.
What do you think?
I think it's great. Now, you said you met somebody that had to do with, was it the Grateful Dead?
Oh, yeah. Not only that, guess who's going to help us spread the word? Why don't you quickly look up Buck Wild and tell us what Buck Wild does? I knew he's from the Grateful Dead, but I don't even know what he does with the dead. And he actually gave me, you're going to love this, Randy, he gave me Jerry Garcia's secret handshake so that when I meet Ricky Martin, he'll know that I'm one of the in-group. The Olympic Torch is part of the in-group with Ricky Martin. That man is so handsome. I wish he wasn't gay. God, he's got two beautiful children and a wonderful husband. I don't know if they're officially married or not, but this good-looking hunk of human being gave a peace conference to the entire city. And guess where he lives? Go ahead. Right in my city.
I was
looking for Ricky Martin all over Merida, right? And all of a sudden I find out that he's like, because I know the police know where he is, okay? And that's how I got in the game, by the way, the one I was referring to earlier. I knew the police knew where Ricky Martin was, because after I signed up with Jonathan Granoff, I wanted to hook up with Ricky Martin and thank him, and then get him to join what I was doing so I could hand him the torch, which I'll do. So I ended up calling the Merida police, and they came over to the hotel that I was staying at, okay? And I have to give the hotel a plug here, Randy. The El Presidente Hotel in Merida is one of the most quiet, effective group of people I have ever run into. They do things quietly. There's not a lot of hubbub that goes around. You tell them what you need, and they go after it. Now, mind you, I have no cash. Guess what? They won't take anything but credit cards either. And then throw in on top of that systems that break down. You'll be talking on the phone, and all of a sudden you're not talking on the phone. I'll be getting a call that says Randy Shannon, but it turns out it's somebody else. I make a call, and you can't hear me on the other end of the line, but you don't know if the texting is going to go through or not, and you can't confirm your reservations, or you can't transfer funds, or maybe you can. Imagine trying to function in the middle of that kind of confusion without personal aware assistance. The hotel gave that to me. How did they know to give that to me? What do you think? What do you think I did?
You went straight to them about something, but tell me how.
I took my Olympic torch over to the desk and told them that what my mission was. And I had them hold the Olympic torch up in the air and experience it. The cool thing, Randy, I've got to get you to hold it too, because you're going to love this stuff. The higher you hold the torch, or the higher you hold the vision, or the higher you manifest the vision, the higher you do that, the lighter it gets.
Okay.
And that is that's actually a physical experience. So if I gave you a 20-pound sack of apples or something like that, and you love it, it'd be a 20-pound sack of your favorite apple, perhaps.
Okay.
But what if I told you to hold that apple, or those apples, over your head, and they're high, and they only weigh like 3 pounds?
Okay.
What would you think had happened to the 20 pounds when it turned into 3?
We took a few out.
Well, that would be, I love you so much. I just love you so much. And that's why she's my partner.
That's come out when no one was looking. I don't know.
I know, exactly. And that's the way. I'm sorry. I had no idea you were going to come up with that line, and I just love it. And that's what happened a lot in Mexico. We would sit there and we would try to talk to each other, and then we would just bring out laughing. Anyway, I can't even. Let me see. Let me get back to where it was before you got me laughing. Okay, I'm almost there. Well, you can't get me, Randy. I got to get this out. When you hold the torch higher, it gets lighter. When you hold your vision higher, it gets lighter. And it's actually a physical experience that you can experience, and if you're open to it. And I would say in the U.S., maybe 1 in 50 of the people I met are open to it. In Merida, I would say 1 in 2 or 3 of the people I met were totally open to it. So they would hold this torch over their head, and their eyes would start to sparkle. And basically, they would say in Espanol, how can I be of service? I had one of the best hotels and the staff of one of the best hotels in Merida doing total service for the planet, because this is the center of world peace now, folks. And they did it because they saw that they became part of an Olympic vision. A vision that where you're not wrong and I'm not wrong and you're not right, and you know, Hillary Clinton is simply an experience to be learn from. That kind of reality into wow. Merida actually has rain almost every day, so the city gets washed clean. So you've got hands reaching out into the world, offering you assistance, taking care of you, being of service when you're the right conversation. The right conversation is not Donald Trump needs to be impeached because he's colluded with the Russians and Mueller is a big bomb and, you know, James Comey should be ashamed of himself. That is actually a very low conversation. The right conversation is, how can we support this president of this amazing country of ours, who's getting educated too, by the way. Actually, I was talking about that with you're going to love this woman. I'm not going to mention her name on air right now because I don't have permission to do that. But she's somebody that's joining our team of Key Media, which is Kirkgaard Intergalactic Media. We're mm-hmm. going to have an office down in the peninsula. This particular woman, she's actually FBI, and she's been trained by the FBI. We're actually okay. going to run her for governor of California, okay? Marianne okay. Williamson, remember I kept telling you Marianne Williamson was part of it? Marianne Williamson didn't she didn't give out bumper stickers that say Department of, President of the United States. They say Department of Peace on them. Did you know that?
I did not.
Okay, so
it's a good,
Marianne
it's a good
Williamson
support,
is select...
Sure.
I'm sorry, what?
I said that's a good twist right there for sure.
Well, it isn't even a twist. It's actually, whether she knows it or not, it's actually her request, her own request. And by the mm-hmm. way, it's where she fits. She's one of the best orators I have ever heard in my entire life, and I have known Marianne Williamson for like over 30 years. This woman is bloody amazing. With her in the Department of Peace, Prosperity, and Happiness, see, she's only going for peace, and I don't mean that only, but she's caught in the politics at the time. So she's headed with her little torch for peace, okay? What's going to happen as this energy changes, as the Olympic energy starts to be run all over the planet by all the people that are initiated, when they start reaching out their hand and pulling people out of debt and helping people pull out of these different places, giving them jobs and treating them like human beings rather than women rats in a cell so that men can enjoy it from good old Pompeii. When human dignity is honored and faced like that, it's like, oh my God, the flame starts to burn. And we can blow on that flame, Randy.
Yeah.
We can totally blow on that flame. And we are blowing on it. Actually, this is the first public announcement in the United States. I've already contacted the head of the radio stations that I work with, John Young of Totally Gospel and Jeff Spinard. I left voicemail messages for them so that they would know what was happening. I talked to Ron Simon of our radio station here in Albuquerque. Eyes are glowing because this is a mission in which nobody is wrong and the future is perfect. And I don't mean perfect like a neat suit or a clean tie. I mean like perfect in the sense that it includes everyone. It's everyone. Anybody mm-hmm. that allows themselves to be in this energy will have this energy. Anybody that holds the torch, anybody that touches the hand of somebody that's held the torch is part of the flame. Wow.
That's awesome. That's pretty awesome.
Wow. So anyway, the chief of police down there puts me into this game. I couldn't believe it. I called the police chief. Right? I bring him over. He comes over to the hotel with his squad. I said, I need to get to Ricky Martin.
Oh, he thought you were crazy.
No, he did not think I was crazy. Here's what he said to me. If you want to find Ricky Martin, and this is the way the movie works, too. If you want to find Ricky Martin, I had a round-trip ticket, by the way. Mm-hmm. You have to give up your return ticket.
Oh, why? Why is that?
Because that put me in the game with no way to get, I had to create my own way to get home. I had no return ticket. And he said, what you do is you go to, and of course this is in Spanish, but very good Spanish, by the way. He goes,
okay.
Go out in front of the El Presidente Hotel and be there at 7 o'clock sharp and ask the first person that you see where Ricky Martin is. So, okay. He said, do you give up your ticket? I said, I do. So next morning at 7 o'clock, I actually got there early because I wanted to make sure I didn't miss anything. I'm sitting out there in front of the hotel. It's 7 o'clock. It's 7:01. It's 7:02. This man comes walking up the street, and there's nobody else around, so it was a pretty clear choice, right?
Okay.
I said, sir, ¿dónde está Ricky Martin? And he goes, oh, and he points over to the hotel that's down the street. I don't have a name for it. So anyway, I go over to the hotel, and they say, yes, Ricky Martin is here, right? I said, oh, God, this is really much easier than I thought. And then a couple of minutes later, they come back, and they go, no, he's not here. I go, okay. I said, I think I'm in the game.
Maybe
because
so.
Because the game is about intuition and connecting with others and all that kind of stuff, and also listening.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about that?
It's definitely interesting. By the way, do they like Donald Trump down there, or did that not come up?
Oh, well, let me tell you, actually, I purposely was just focusing on the game this time. Donald Trump wasn't a part of the conversation, except what he could do for this place, okay? So the next spot on the game, because I now have been told he's there, then I'm told he's not there, then I'm told he's upstairs, then I'm told he's not upstairs, and I go, okay, he's not here, right? What's my next step? So I decided that my next step would be to go to the American Embassy. Wouldn't that be a good idea? What do you think?
Sounds amazing. Sounds like a plan.
Yeah. I thought it was a good plan. So, how am I going to get to the American Embassy through these streets? Adonde está Embassy Americano, right?
Okay. Wow, pretty good there, Val.
I know my Spanish has got, my gardener's Spanish is almost top-notch gardener's Spanish now. So I get out on the streets, and once again, they're just being helpful. They're taking me by the arm. They're walking me across the street. So I get, and then they tell me the American Embassy is up the street. Now, the last time I was in Mexico, I had other reasons to visit the American Embassy in Mexico City. It was gorgeous, Randy. It had a fence around it to keep people from going up and down. But, you know, you don't always want people going through your fence. So the American Embassy there had this nice place, and you had to go through it was fenced off, and you had to get permission to go in. So that's kind of what I was expecting. So I get walked over, guided over, and all this stuff, and now I see, I don't see the American Embassy. I'm looking around because I have this image of what an American Embassy looks like. Go ahead, ask me. What does it look like, Val?
Well, what does it? I'm picturing beautiful, marbled out. Go ahead.
Can you imagine a warehouse for dead batteries?
No, exact opposite of what I just said.
Okay, a web house for dead batteries.
Okay.
My sister told me I have 2-3 minutes left, so I better hurry up and finish the game. And I'll stop with the American Embassy for part of the journey. We can talk more about it later. But this was the big shocker, Randy. The American Embassy is an embarrassment to America, and President Trump needs to fix it right away. He needs to do something. He needs to get this message. I don't know who's going to give it to him or how it's going to get to him. It's terrible. You have to knock on a glass. The representative from the United States, when I said I need help carrying the Olympic torch around the city and introducing people to it, she goes, "We don't do that here." We don't do that here? Now, there was a little bit more tone on my voice than was on hers. She basically just said, "We don't do that here," with a slightly shocked voice, not quite as nasty as the one I was making. But that's the American representative. In Merida, the Mormon Church and Walmart are the representatives for America at this point. And by the way, they're highly revered. The Mormon Church is like 5 stars. The Jewish community needs to be there. Every community in the world needs to be there that cares about peace, happiness, and joy. And we as Americans, and you and I, Randy, with our affection for the fact that we've been worked for so hard by President Trump, we need to be part of the vehicle that gets that message to how important it is to him that he puts this embassy of ours into a space that's equal to what Merida is all about. How's that for a request?
That sounds interesting. And, you know, President Trump is the greatest president for sure in my lifetime, potentially ever, although George Washington was amazing as well, but dealing with a whole different set of circumstances in a way. You know, and he's in control. In fact, he's in complete control. He's just not in their control. So maybe
right.
In the next 4 years.
And we're about to be off air in about 30 seconds, Randy. So we will continue this conversation next week. And Randy has a very special friend that I want her to prep in this. We won't put out his name right now, but he'll be here with her. and myself, and he'll be here next week, and I am positive that this man is perfect to help with this job too, by the way, just in case you don't know that yet. Mm-hmm. So that's what Randy and I are putting together for you. As you notice, we've done this program differently. You've gotten really, 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 I almost don't want to say breaking news, because that sounds so mainstream media. You have the possibility of the planet in your hands, and if I stumbled around on this program or wandered around a lot, I did another 20-plus-hour day yesterday. I did a 55-hour day.
And you're not crazy anymore.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday on voiceamerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.
This is for all in you, pouring through, now your heart is open.